Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday was jot down the beliefs you push away around this issue. So we identified the issue and then looked at the process of deciding on what the issue was and jot down the beliefs we held on to around the issue and the beliefs we push away around the issue. That was today's assignment.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The belief in both sides of the duality.
Mm-hmm. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jen in Rhinebeck. Oh, can you hear me?
Jen, I can hear you. I don't know if Sherry is still live, but let me try. Sherry?
Okay.
Sherry?
Wow. What has happened?
Oh.
There you are.
What happened? Oh my God. I thought I was dead. Wouldn't it be great if the transition were that easy? Oops. There it is. And of course I'm still here. I'm talking away. I think I'm alive. Anyway.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, you're headed off into the technological bardo, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You people keep the white light on me, okay?
This was kind of hard for me to understand at first, the push it away thing, but I think the place I got to was that with the issue I'm looking at, there are a set of beliefs that it's like they're immediately sort of judged as like, well, that's silly. That's just, I don't really believe that. And they're just ignored. But I think they're actually really still operating at a subterranean level.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, that's perfect, isn't it? What
mm-hmm.
a great
yeah.
way to stay in business. No, don't look there. No, there's nothing there. No, you don't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't really mm-hmm. believe that. You know, you can see right through that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Even though it was just there.
Yes.
In order to bring up that reaction of, oh, no, you don't believe that. Well, what am I reacting to here? There was something there that initiated this reaction.
Yes, and that response of conditioning to just like, you know, quickly move along and, mm-hmm. you know, to make me, you know, sort of this false flattery of like, oh, yeah, you're not that gullible. You wouldn't believe such a thing, even though I'm the one that just whispered it to you a second ago and you actually do believe it.
Well, and what you just said there that is so fascinating is that what we do believe is the voice that whispered it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Right? Even though a particular content might not work anymore in this, mm-hmm. in the sense of hooking us, getting us engaged, the voice whispering to us is what's hooking us, getting us engaged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
a subtle good one,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Yeah, and it's the extra sneaky part is how, like, without exposing all of that, then I go on thinking I've resolved that belief or whatever, you know, that I've seen through it, but I haven't really. I'm still,
yeah.
then I'm like, why am I still stuck around this? Why am I still, I've been looking at the issue around buying a house and all the beliefs I have around buying a house that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's like, why am I still not buying a house? You know,
uh-huh.
It seems like I've worked through everything. And, you know, meanwhile, I haven't actually. There's still all of these beliefs on that subterranean
yeah.
level. Yeah.
Right. Well,
mm-hmm.
and layers and layers and layers. And in
yeah.
this conversation, I project getting to see how you're jerked around by that process. This is
yes.
just one particular content
yeah.
Where that system does that. This is you don't need to look at that. You're past that. You've moved way past that. It's fine. And in the meantime, it's got you in the same process.
And the evidence of that, even if I can't really see what's going on, is that I'm not doing anything around the goal or the content or the issue, you know? Like there's no movement because I'm busy paying attention to the conversation, even if the conversation is that, oh, you don't have the conversation anymore.
Yes. And so getting to see that perhaps that's what you've been doing is being in a conversation about how you don't have that as an issue anymore.
Yes.
And that's keeping you from taking a step toward what it is that
exactly
that we're not sure who wants to go forward with this at this juncture.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right. But you're kept from really exploring that because you don't get to take the next step and see what's revealed there.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's funny because the real issue is actually that conversation, those voices.
Yes. The voice that's whispering to us. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the really creepy that it's, oh, no, you're fine. No, you don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And we feel better. We're trained to feel better when that creepy voice says that to us. Oy.
It's all such a big sleight of hand, you know?
Yes.
It's all just a big, look over here, look over here, look over here.
That's right. Which really argues for sitting still and paying attention, doesn't it? Because that's the only way we're ever going to see how that sleight of hand happens.
Right.
If we get engaged at any point in the show, then it's got us.
Yeah. And it just doesn't feel good either, you know? Like I'm starting to really sense this, you know, it's like being in the flow and not being in the flow. And, you know, that it's, and I think the old assumption used to be, once I'm in the flow, then I'll get a house. And it's like, no, that's not even the point. It's just, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because with or without a house, you're either in the flow or you're not.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and I'd rather be in the flow than listening to the conversation. So, yeah.
You're with or without a house. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's irrelevant at that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a great workshop.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yes. I'm very grateful. Yeah. As is this whole year. Thank you very much, always.
Oh, thank you, Jen.
For you and Ashwini and the whole Sangha, everybody. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a workshop. I feel like I'm in a workshop for every single person that calls. Like, I love following other people's, you know.
Right.
You know, track through their own stuff as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's one of those, okay, right, the kids are back in school. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, back from that vacation. All right. Uh-huh. Starting that new job. Uh-huh. Okay,
Yeah. I'm visiting the parents.
How are
always
mom?
Really helpful.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. How are you doing with mom and dad?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It really makes it feel like that we're all doing it on behalf of each other in that way. So,
All right. Thanks again, Jen.
Okay. Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Jen. That's such a fun way of looking at it. You know, the interconnectedness of all beings in that we each have the same workshop, just everyone else is doing it for us, so we're not required to do all the workshops at the same time.
Yes. Yes. And with some of them, as I was going through that little, playing with that little list, some of them, you know, I haven't had parents in a really long time. So, but being with people who are going through, of course, I am an aging parent, so there is that, but that's different. But going, you know, walking through that with other people really does open up for me an experience that I never had. And and a sensitivity to that that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a workshop in either sympathetic joy or compassion.
Yeah.
At that experience.
Yes, yeah. Whether you have kids, have parents, have job, travel, don't have a house, don't have a house, you know, whatever it is, it opens us. It opens us there, just in the sentence there. It opens us. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi, it's Patty from Vancouver.
Hello, Patty.
Hi.
So my first question, Patty,
yes,
always for everybody on the western part of this continent, is how is the air quality? Are you okay?
Yes, the we had some rain on the weekend, and so the air quality is better. Yesterday was a glorious blue sky. Today, we're still having some air quality issues, but it's certainly livable and walkable outside and so on. So it's a lot better. Yeah, and it has to do with the winds, you know, and which way they go, but there are still something like 550 fires in BC. So, it's affected something like four provinces, you know, because the wind goes over Alberta to Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and so it affects everybody.
I was just talking with somebody in around the Seattle area, and they're being told that this isn't going to change until mid-October when heavy rains start, which is what is predicted. Of course, nobody really knows, but I don't know. I as I readily confess, I'm weather obsessive, and so just that sense of what people, you know, it's kind of what we were just talking about with Jen and with Ishwini after Jen, that that awareness of where folks are and what folks are dealing with. There's the things that we talk about on the show, but then there's a lot of the rest of life that's going on that isn't often a part of the conversation, and yet it's having a profound effect on people's lives.
Yeah, there were days last week where the air quality index was so bad or so difficult for people that, you know, even if you were healthy, you really couldn't do anything outside. It was so thick and, And that's not even someone with a compromised immune system or breathing or whatever, but and I think about
humans.
Yes, and I think about California too, and that situation and people, and or someone living right close to those fires. Well, what's it like for them in other parts of BC where they're right there?
And, deep gratitude to people who are risking their lives to try to deal with this for us. So anyway, what are you looking at with beliefs and counter
and
an issue?
It is actually I didn't think I'd get on, but of course it's a perfect day for me to get on. So the issue that I was writing down was about taking next steps for an art show, and what beliefs I have around that. And I haven't done the one about the pushing away, but sometimes it feels like when it rains, it pours. So because it's the beginning of September, there is a call for submission to a gallery. If you're a resident of this area, you can put in a portfolio and some pieces. And at the same time, I got back a response for an audition to join a choir. And so this whole thing about not enough or you know, the thing that I noticed this morning when I was doing meditation was ego wanting to come in and make it an urgency and pull me out of being present and looking at what the next steps are just in the moment, versus, oh, you better get on to this, but, and then flipping to, oh, but, you know, you're kind of scared, maybe you shouldn't do this. And so it's this flipping, you know, where I want to step out in life to the things I love to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm quite aware of that.
Right. And you are seeing both sides of it, right? On the one hand, of course, I don't know about beliefs in this case, but these are things that you love. These are things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have whatever beliefs about that. I mean, you have pursued these things. Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever considered me for a chorus, and I would certainly never be in any art show. Okay. So I don't have a lot of beliefs around that other than, you know, whatever I just said. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a belief or it's just an experience. It's not an interest. Neither is an interest for me. It's nothing I've ever pursued. But you have. Those mm-hmm. those are your talents and your interests and that sort of thing. So there's whatever beliefs that you have about that. And then we get to see the opposite side of the, well, yeah, but you're scared, and it's probably not, you're not going to be that good, and they're not going to accept you. So that both sides of that you're getting to witness.
Mm-hmm. And I was so excited today when I saw it in meditation and just observed it and went, oh, okay, all right, this is what ego's doing. This is how it's operating right now in this situation. And
what now?
Yeah.
Right? That's what you got to. And what now?
Right. Uh-huh. And that's my intention for today, is to just keep watching what ego's doing and how it's going to either pull me into anxiety versus excitement about these new things, or just watching it operating and seeing,
yes,
seeing that.
And if I may, I project that what you're, where you're watching it from, or I hope where you're watching it from, is what now.
Mm-hmm.
Because
life
is offering you the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we have no idea how any of this is going to go, right? But life is offering you now. And then mm-hmm. you get to mm-hmm. see what ego, what conditioned mind does with that. Tries to take you away from now and your participation into stories and fears and concerns and things that aren't real.
Mm-hmm. And I want to also do some recording and listening to support myself, you know, to
Absolutely.
Remember to remember that about just being here
yes.
now, letting life flow, much like
yes.
you talked to, I think, Emily, about that transition from school, kids being back at school, and what she does now. And that I found really helpful, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, to just now, and then when you're moved in a direction, we'll call them or see where the, then you do that.
Right.
But in a directed, guided way, not in a, okay, well, what should I do now? And maybe I should, well, but if that's not going to, we can sense the difference in that.
Yeah. It's not the looking to ego for what's next.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And there's the difference, isn't it? We're looking to life for what now, not to
You're
ego
right.
for what's next.
What's next in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
yeah.
You can let us know how it all goes, huh?
Okay. Thank you, Sherry, and thank you so much for this year-long retreat.
It
informs me and helps me every day.
Good. Me too.
Yeah.
And I bet Ashwini will say me too, too.
Thanks, Sherry.
Me too, Ashwini. Too. Thanks, Patty. Me too, too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patty.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Patty. I think we might have to do it again next year, Sherry.
I think
that was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. How could we not?
Well,
it's one of those, how do you go back? You know, you just
yeah.
just can't go back. I can't.
The thing that was dropping in for me around what Patty and you were talking about is the nature of the duality, you know, that the belief, it's sort of bridging the conversation between Jen and Patty. The belief creates what divides the world, and then the conversation maintains that world that gets created around the belief. And so the only way to, it's so pernicious because we're conditioned to believe that the resolution is on one or either side of the duality. But what both Patty and Jen got to is that we have to see it as a process and step out of the process, step out of the content into a process place. And in life, the only process is presence. So what's here in this moment?
Yes, well, what you just said kind of illuminates the whole thing. The belief creates an artificial reality. And then once that artificial, this is the way it is. This is what is so, right? This is what is true. A belief about whatever it is. And then ego inserts its duality. So now I'm in an artificial world on one side or the other of a duality.
Yes. Yeah, and so only stepping out.
A long
out
way
of
from
it.
Home.
Yes, and so stepping out of to recognize that we're in a duality and stepping out of it allows us to be in the present, which is, within quotes, the only thing that is. And so it's amazing how many people, when we talk about duality, the first question is, well, what do I do? The point is you don't do anything. You get out of it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. At that point, any thought we have is going to take us in the direction we don't want to go. Right. So that's why. What do I
back
do?
Into
nothing.
Back into the duality. Because what the process is to take every single thing that arises in life and make it a duality.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? I don't know. I don't know whether I should do something or not do something, right? It just feeds back into the process.
Yes. So what you're saying is ego can take, it can turn anything into a duality.
Yeah, it does actually, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, not only can it does. Yeah, anything. So any direction that I'm going to go with ego is going to, there will be a duality in it. We could just know that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Well, we have time for one more caller, Sherry, so here we go.
All right.
Caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hello.
Hello. I'm happy to be here, and also, it's so funny how there are times when I really want to get on, and I don't. And today I was like, I'm putting myself in the queue like this,
by golly,
size on a Tuesday at the gym, whether I feel like it or not. And now I'm on. When I was looking, there was something about the beliefs I hold on to around this issue and the beliefs that I push away around this issue where they were like, they were kind of like the same, but the ones that I push away are so much, they have this like cruel edge that, and it's just clear how diabolical they are because they undermine exactly what they tell me I have to do. Like, a lot of the beliefs.
Give us an example, okay?
Yes, I will give you an example. So the beliefs I hold on to around the issue, for example, is like being lazy, like I'm a loser, I need to do something now. And then the beliefs that I push away are like, I need to shake it off and wake up. There's nothing wrong with me but pathetic, self-indulgent fear. And there's something about like, lazy or procrastination where it's like, yeah, I feel kind of bad about that, but you know, that maybe that's human or something. But the beliefs that I push away are like, just feel really like mean and really debilitating, like just really kind of puts into relief what, you know, everything that you say about it really being self-hating, hateful.
So, Sandy, a voice that says there's nothing wrong with you, it's just self-indulgent, whatever it was, self-indulgent something or other.
Yeah.
That's the one that feels hateful?
I mean, it did. Now you're asking me, and I'm like, well, I guess not. There's nothing wrong with me but pathetic, self-indulgent fear is what it says. And if you took away pathetic and self-indulgent, I guess it would sort of be the message of the practice.
So the subtlety that I think you're closing in on is how, on the one hand, ego has three hands here. On the one hand, you are talked into behaviors and attitudes that result in the beatings that you get, right?
Yeah.
So you're talked into, say, procrastinating. You procrastinate, and then you're called a lazy loser.
Yes.
And the same, you can see the same system talks you into it, talks you into the behavior, beats you up for doing it. Then the next place that it goes is, so the way out of that, the way out of what it's talking you into doing is not to listen to it and not to do that, right? Which can be done very kindly with the help of the mentor. So, you know, it's going to, if you clean the house, you're going to feel better. If you get the work done, you're going to enjoy, the rewards of that. You can enjoy doing it. You can enjoy how good it feels after you've done it. Okay. And then there's no beating with that, right? So you're practicing awareness, and you're very much in danger of realizing that you could, with the support and companionship of the mentoring wisdom and intelligence that animates you, do anything you want. So what's ego going to do with that? We'll turn that into a negativity. You're just indulging fear. You're pathetically indulging fear. Well, ego is fear, right? And ego is being indulged because it talks you into identifying with it and indulging it. So now it's figured out how to turn the very way out of your situation into a negative that you're going to feel bad about.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, yeah, it's funny. I'm reading the beliefs again. I have to do stuff I hate to make money. I need to shake it off and wake up. There's nothing wrong with me but pathetic, self-indulgent fear. And in a way, it's like, in light of what you just said, it's like, it's kind of true. I do have to do stuff ego hates to make money. And often what it hates the most is just like getting up, getting dressed, leaving the house. And then somehow, like, at some point, this momentum kind of takes over and it's not horrible anymore. It's like just being alive. But yeah, in a way, it's almost like these beliefs that I'm pushing away are kind of like, yeah, it's almost like they're only a few degrees off of what the mentor would say, except the mentor would say them like much more nicely. Or like would encourage the same activities, but do it from a different perspective. Are you still there?
Wow, I am. I'm talking away and nothing's happening.
Ashwin, Sherry, are you back? Yes, are you back? I just saw you come back on the line. I was just telling Sandy that you disappeared for a second.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Huh? I'm just talking away, just happy as I can be, and oh well. It's all for our own entertainment anyway, isn't it? So the crapola aspect of that is that ego hates what you do in order to make a living. No, it loves to talk like that because it'll make you unhappy. And that's what it's really going for. So my line was, it gets a big meal before breakfast, right? Before you have breakfast, it's had its meal for the day because you're suffering over having to get up and go to. And what you're really suffering over is that conversation with ego, not work, right? Because as you say, once you get started in your day, attention turns to your day and you're not unhappy with what you're doing, right? So that con job, so it sets you up in that's who you are and that's what you have to do, and it's miserable and horrible and awful, but you should be able to be happy with it. So it's one of those, it gets us coming and going, right? And so the secret to our success is realizing that it is never the content or the process of life that is making us unhappy. Unhappiness always resides in a conversation in conditioned mind. And that's what you're catching on to. Okay? So okay. Now, you're probably already up for today, but tomorrow and throughout the day, just, you know, watch that process. Watch that the only thing ever making you unhappy is a conversation in your head talking to you about unhappy things and how you're unhappy and how that's a bad thing and how that's wrong and what's wrong with you. You look around, trees are green, sky is blue, I'm looking at birds, you know, the world is just fine here. Where fine isn't is inside conditioned mind. So make some recordings about what's possible for you when you get up in the morning, okay, to wake up into life, into presence. Listen to that first thing in the morning and let us know what happens with your day as a result of that.
Okay.
All right.
I will.
Very good. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sandy. Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. And our assignment for today is, can you name the parts of you on each side of this issue?
Ooh, who gets involved on this side and who gets involved on that side?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Ooh, fun. You can even draw a little picture. Give a little outfit. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. A little self-portrait.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Sherry. Take care, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.